In London, this is The Economist. Once or twice a month in the paper and online, you can read a special report, an exhaustive survey over several articles of a single country regional issue. In The Economist of January 19, 2008 is a special report on corporate social responsibility. The author is Daniel Franklin, The Economist's executive and online editor, who is with us now in The Economist Tower in St. James's. It's been 3 years since The Economist published a special report by Clive Crook in which he took the line that it was a pity that corporate social responsibility had won the battle of ideas. I spoke to him at the time and he left me with this declaration that the business of business is business, absolutely ringing in my ears, and that what he had to say was that much of what was masquerading as CSR, I'll call it CSR from now on, was simply just good business, nothing else. I notice the title of your special report is, in fact, Just Good Business. Are you and Clive in agreement on this issue then?
Yes, I think broadly Clive's argument, as you said, was to acknowledge that the battle for ideas, as he would put it, had been lost by the sceptics about corporate social responsibility. I think 3 years on, a lot has been going on in this area. Companies are having to grapple with expectations, demands that they be seen to be active in corporate responsibility, corporate citizenship, whatever you like to call it. And the idea behind the special report is to look at what companies are actually doing, not so much to focus on whether it's a good or a bad thing, but what companies are actually doing. And there is this area of activities that are in companies' own interests, but do good for society as well, and perhaps enlarge the area that companies are able to perceive benefits that are good for them and good for society. And just good business doesn't mean that it's easy to do. So my interest was in exploring how companies are going about this and who's doing what that's interesting.
What are some examples of some good CSR practice that spring to mind?
One example I gave is Marks & Spencer, which has certainly thought about this from the top, tried to make sure that it doesn't get too far ahead of the consumer, is very conscious of what consumer expectations are, and is trying to perhaps stay just a little bit ahead of anticipating where the consumer is going, but not getting out too far ahead. Another example might be GE, which has what it calls its eco-imagination investment program on environmentally friendly products, and I think that's been a way of trying to partly package what was already there, but also going a little bit beyond that and saying this is our bet on the way the world is moving and we're going to invest in it, and getting some credit for it amongst its customers.
The opening rubric to your article states that CSR is now seen as, in fact, the mainstream. Why has it become so important?
The expectations on companies have risen for a number of reasons. The spread of the internet, for example, the amount of scrutiny that goes on through non-governmental organisations, activist groups, all that has risen dramatically. And that means that companies have to be on their guard for a number of reasons, because their reputation can be at risk if they do something that people find out about that is perceived to be untoward. So that's one set of issues that has raise this right up the priority list for companies. Another is the whole rise of environmentalism, climate change, concerns about the state of the planet. And that's been an area that companies have taken up with some alacrity and is the perhaps most dynamic area of corporate social responsibility.
The rubric, however, also says that even if CSR may be mainstream, that few companies are doing it properly. Now, how are companies getting CSR wrong? And in fact, what is the right approach? Is there a right approach?
Well, for many companies, CSR is something that, although they make a lot of noise about it, they don't necessarily think very deeply about it. So for one thing, it may well be located in the corporate communications area, so it's perceived as a part of the PR efforts rather than something more strategic. So that's one sign that a company may not be giving it the greatest real priority, although it may be making rather large claims about its activities. Secondly, this phrase, corporate social responsibility, can cover so many different types of activities, anything from the company's charitable works to volunteering by employees to environmental activities. that often companies are having a sort of scattergun approach to it without a real focus on what might be truly relevant to their business and truly in the interests of their shareholders.
I've heard one description of CSR I've heard is doing well by doing good. But conversely, can CSR also be a bad thing?
Well, it can, of course, if you just take a couple of examples. If it isn't good for the business, if it actually involves the business concentrating on activities that aren't profitable or damage the business in some way, take that to the extreme, the business actually goes under, that's no good for anybody at all to have a supremely ethical business that actually goes out of business. But I think also even well-intentioned activities of businesses can end up not doing any good at all in ways that might surprise people. So if you impose very demanding, let's say, conditions for working practices or wages that mean that some factories go out of business because they can't compete with those higher standards, that may be, in the end, very damaging. So you may be trying to protect the interests of workers in a poor part of the world, let's say Bangladeshi textile workers. But if you don't manage to improve productivity at the same time in order to keep those factories in business, you may be doing more harm than good.
Resistance to CSR in the business world. I mean, there are companies out there that, of course, would be quite happy to ignore CSR, whether it's mainstream or not. What about these companies?
I think it depends very much on the reasons why they're ignoring it. If in some cases they may be ignoring it just because they're not particularly aware of what the pressures that they're liable to face are. And in those cases, they may one day be surprised to find themselves hit by difficulties that they don't see coming. So there are many, many examples of industries that have suddenly faced trouble because they haven't anticipated the sorts of expectations of them that have been evolving in the world around them. There's perhaps another type of company that is deliberately ignoring CSR pressures, perhaps for very logical reasons. They think that they have nothing much to gain even if they are affected, or they're in maybe in a sector which is not likely to be coming under a lot of pressure. And this is all from the point of view of managing the risks that a business might face for its reputation. And in those cases, maybe it's a perfectly rational thing for a business to be doing.
Is CSR also an opportunity for business, though? I mean, rather than simply being seen as a bit of a pain or just used as a defensive technique, risk management, as you mentioned, can it also represent a good opportunity for business?
Well, that's, I think, the glint in the eye of many people who are particularly engaged in this for two main reasons. One is the whole area of attracting and retaining and motivating the best possible people. So I think increasingly there are businesses that see that employees that they want to attract, and in order to keep hold of the best employees, it's in their interest to be the sort of organisation that people want to work for, particularly younger people coming out of business schools, where they've taken lots of courses on business ethics. They seem to be asking more and more questions at interview about companies' values, the sorts of things that companies are engaged in. And so I think there's the human resources side of it, which is certainly perceived as an opportunity by some companies. And then there's the whole green agenda, which I think for many companies is perceived as an opportunity, partly because they can save money. If you can cut your fuel costs and improve your bottom line while at the same time appearing virtuous and saving the planet, so much the better. And perhaps a step beyond that, if the mindset that comes from trying to be very closely attuned with changes in consumer expectations and the way that the world around your business is moving, if you're very closely attuned to that, maybe you're in a better position to be innovative and anticipate market needs.
How about measuring CSR? I mean, it does strike me as being something very slippery and very difficult to quantify. But are techniques evolving which see businesses and indeed watchdogs, activists, so on and so forth, measure the effectiveness of CSR, both in business terms and in doing good terms?
Yeah, very hard to measure. And as you say, two sides of it, the output side, how much good is being done, which is often the most ignored, by the way, and companies may make a lot of noise about what they're doing without necessarily measuring the impact. also on the comparative measure of how well you're doing at it compared with another company. There are also all sorts of rankings and ratings these days that have sprung up. There's something called the Global Reporting Initiative, which encourages non-financial reporting and aspires to be a global standard for this sort of thing. But I think many companies see that as a kind of box-ticking exercise, in, if they're honest about it, and it can actually perversely provide a sort of cover for companies to claim that they're reporting under these standards but aren't actually really monitoring in a meaningful way what they're doing. So it is, I think, a growing area of scrutiny is you claim to do all this stuff, but how much good are you really doing?
Now, looking at CSR as a global phenomenon, I mean, there is, of course, no one set of rules about how CSR should be practiced internationally. As the what we call the BRIC countries, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, gather clout internationally, economically, how are approaches to CSR going to differ between countries?
Well, first of all, I think it is very much the case that through various mechanisms, CSR is spreading around the world, not least through increasingly globalized supply chains. So companies are coming under pressure to monitor not only what happens in their own home countries, but also what happens in their extended supply chains, in their own factories and in their supplier factories. And that partly comes from problems that sometimes arise in supplier countries. So, for example, look at the problems that the toy industry has had with product recalls coming out of China. You need to be aware increasingly as a global business of the standards that are being set and the conditions that exist in factories and suppliers right around the world. So that's one mechanism that it's taking to spread around the world. The other is as companies within emerging countries themselves go global. So Indian companies, for example, that start to expand into the West, and they start to face the sort of scrutiny that has previously applied mainly to rich country companies.
So one thing I was surprised to read in the special report, because it seemed to fly in the face of all the wisdom you hear about Chinese companies as being not particularly concerned with ethics, is that there seems to be quite a growing awareness of CSR and, in fact, a growing CSR industry in China itself. Could you maybe tell us a bit about the Chinese approach to CSR?
Well, I don't think your received wisdom is wrong. I think it's from a very, very low base. It's very early days for this in China. But it is certainly starting to emerge, partly because of this spread of supply chain concern into China from Western companies in China. So Western companies who are in China have to take this very much more seriously. Chinese companies themselves have not particularly bothered with it, but if they go global, as increasingly they are, it's something that they face, and they have to be much more aware of building up their brands. They have to be much more aware of the sorts of pressures that they will come into as they become better known in the West and possibly become targets for scrutiny that they don't face at home. There is no great network of monitoring organizations other than the state at home, but not the sort of non-governmental activism that exists elsewhere. But as soon as they start going abroad, they confront that.
Okay, so it's not a case of the Chinese government suddenly developing a huge interest in CSR.
Well, the Chinese government is developing a growing interest in the environment, that's for sure, and is certainly sending out signals that it wants Chinese domestic industry to be much more conscious of the big environmental problems that China faces. But at the same time, of course, Chinese businesses are under pressure to have growth beyond everything else. So as in many areas of CSR, there are conflicting pressures. And while it would be nice for them to listen to the concerns over the environment, one suspects that the fundamental pressure is for growth at this stage in China.
And the relationship between business and activist, the CSR activist, in fact, the organizations that have established CSR as an important principle, let's give them credit where it's due. Of course, we all remember how it used to be. Basically, business was bad and the activists were very good. In your special report, you've fingered changing relationships between companies and NGOs. They're less adversaries these days, more partners working together on corporate social responsibility. How is this working out in practice?
Yeah, in many cases, that's that's increasingly the case, but of course there's still a lot of wariness, and there are NGOs that are still root and branch, suspicious and hostile of business. So it's often an uneasy relationship. But what is happening is that particularly those NGOs that have operations on the ground and that are trying to get things done find that business, big business in particular, is a way of achieving those ends that turns out to be quite efficient. So if they go into some sort of collaboration with business, they suddenly find that they have practical, pragmatic skills as well as money to achieve the things that they're trying to achieve, and they're increasingly interested in that. From businesses' point of view, they find that that sort of collaboration can give them, first of all, credibility and help their reputation, but it also can, in some cases, help them reach consumers, which otherwise they find quite hard to reach, particularly in poorer countries. So there's a common interest which is increasingly being recognised between certain types of business and certain types of NGO, which is not to say that businesses suddenly getting a free ride from NGOs or that NGOs have suddenly across the board fallen in love with business. Far from it.
Looking to the future, I mean, now there is an awful lot of talk in the air about recession. The global economic environment has got much tighter. One would think that if the economic environment contracts, CSR will be the first thing that companies cut out. Is it, in fact, just something, an add-on that is going to be ditched as time gets tough, or is it here to stay?
I think it's certainly something that will face a big test if times indeed get tougher, of how serious companies were during the good days, if you like. My hunch is that certain things will last. Certain things, once you've started them, become a little bit harder to stop. And once you've put in place a program, let's say, to allow your employees a certain part of their month to do voluntary activities in the community, it's very hard to take that away without sending an extremely difficult message across the workforce. But we'll see. I think if we actually have a serious downturn, then managers will be under a lot of pressure, and certain programs doubtless will face cuts.
Daniel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Daniel Franklin is the Economist executive and online editor. His special report on corporate social responsibility appears in the January 19th issue of The Economist. You can read the full text at economist.com/specialreports.